السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Yesterday we had spoken about the two aspects of the Zahir and the Batin. That when we are trying to reform ourselves and we are trying to refine and perfect ourselves, then we have to work on both fronts. We have to work on the external self and we have to work on the internal self. We have to rid ourselves of the guna and the sins which are of the external nature and of the internal nature. This is how we will perfect ourselves. In life too, when you want to perfect something, then it has to be perfected on both fronts. The person has a motor vehicle, so then it has to be in good condition externally too. And it has to be in good condition internally as well. With regards to our homes, it's the same issue. Externally, the home needs to be presentable, it needs to be good. The structure needs to be strong. The integrity of the structure needs to be all intact. And internally too, the home needs to be well maintained. The cupboards need to be good. Tiling needs to be good. So both sides, we work on both fronts. Then we will say, this is a beautiful home, this is a perfect home. This is a comfortable home. So in the month of Ramadan, we should endeavor and make an effort to get rid of both the external sins and the internal sins. So here, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawrullah Marqadahu has given four actions and four prescriptions which will make it easy for us to develop this close friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one we had mentioned was the growing of the beard, one full first length. The second was ensuring that our pants, our trousers are kept above the ankles. Today, inshallah, we'll move a little more towards the internal sins. And and that is what has been discussed over and over again in this masjid, particularly in the life of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Patel Sahib Nawrullah Marqadahu. And I think last year also in Ramadan, we had elaborated extensively with regards to this particular sin. But there's always a need to remind ourselves, and that is the sins of the eyes, the casting of lustful glances. Now this is something which has been established and substantiated from both the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Let's say to the believing men, they should lower their gazes. Furthermore, Allah Ta'ala has given a separate ayat and a separate verse for the women folk. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. Now normally whenever Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala addresses men and women, so Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala merely addresses the men, because generally the women are subservient to the men. This doesn't mean those people who shout slogans of gender equality. So this doesn't mean that the man is greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the woman. But Allah ta'ala has given the men, certain capabilities. He's got certain strengths. And Allah ta'ala has given the woman certain strength and certain capabilities. Now for example, if we say that man and woman are equal and they must all be the same and we must all give all of them the same things to do, so obviously this is not logical. Allah Ta'ala naturally has created the man differently from a woman. Now if we have to say that the men also must start giving birth, so how is that possible? We can't do it. Allah Ta'ala hasn't created our bodies such. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala has given the man certain strengths. He is emotionally stronger. That is why Allah Ta'ala has given the man the ability to give the divorce and not the woman. But unfortunately, today we find that men sometimes are behaving in such an emotional manner, which is totally against the nature of a man. He was supposed to have self-control, and that is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. Who is a strong individual? The strong individual is that person who is able to control himself at the time of anger. So a true man is somebody who is able to control himself. He is able to control his emotions. And Allah Ta'ala has naturally created a woman such that she is an emotional being. And there is beauty in that. So Allah Ta'ala has created her in that manner. And Allah Ta'ala has created the man in a different way. And this is the balance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So generally Allah Ta'ala addresses the man. Another example that comes to mind, if you are driving a vehicle, you can only have one driver. Now if everybody in the car says, no, we all must be given an equal right to drive. So everybody hold a part of the steering wheel and we all drive the car. So what will happen? There will be a total chaos. So one person will drive, but it doesn't mean that the driver is superior than the rest of the passengers in the vehicle. Sometimes the person in the back, he is a VIP and the driver is just doing a service. So the men shouldn't regard themselves as superior than women. But Allah Ta'ala has given them certain responsibilities, seeing to the needs of the home, providing for the family, looking after the tarbiyat of the children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given the woman an equal and very important responsibility of making the home and seeing to the needs of the children, bringing up the children, rearing the children, showing love within the home. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give our society this understanding. Nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala normally addresses the men and the women in one particular verse. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O ye who believe. But here Allah Ta'ala has given two separate verses for both the male and then the female. Clearly indicating the importance of this particular injunction. That it needs to be implemented by both the male and the female. So this clearly indicates how important it is. That Allah Ta'ala has instructed the man to lower his gaze. And similarly Allah Ta'ala has instructed the woman to also lower her gaze. In the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Zina al-ayn al-nadhr. The zina and the fornication of the eyes, the adultery of the eyes is casting lustful glances. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Do not even go near zina. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, especially in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, we should make a concerted effort to control and to lower our gazes. And there's great benefit in this. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that another sahmun min sihami iblis masmumun, that this lustful glance is a poisonous arrow from shaitan. It is a poisonous arrow from shaitan. Man tarakahu makhafati abdaltuhu imanan yajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi, or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Whoever will leave out the casting of lustful glances, I will, in lieu of this, I will replace him with such iman, the sweetness of which he will perceive within his heart. Allah Ta'ala will give him the sweetness of iman. Regarding this hadith sharif, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that فَفِيهِ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ بَشَارَةِ حُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ. He said in this particular hadith, there is a glad tidings that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the person who lowers his gaze death with iman. And the reason for this is وَقَدْ وَرَدَ أَنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ إِذَا دَخَلَتْ قَلْبًا لَا تَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا. It has been mentioned that when sweetness of iman enters any particular heart, it never ever leaves that heart again. So when Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with sweetness of iman, then it means that iman will remain in his heart forever. And of course the person who dies with iman, then he is a mu'min. So subhanallah, this lowering of the gaze is such an important aspect, and there is so much of benefit for it, for us in it. So therefore in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, we should make a concerted effort and an intentional effort that from the morning when we go out to the workplace, try and intentionally have this intention that I am not going to be looking. No matter what, I am not going to be looking. Not that, we'll see what happens, but by mistake, if the accidental glance falls, it's okay. So we already got the intention that we are going to look, and we're going to term that as accidental. So we know that the accidental glance is forgiven. Maybe the person is walking, and suddenly, whilst driving, whatever it is, the gaze falls. So that is forgiven. But obviously, the moment the gaze falls, we have to avert it away. Not that the person casts one long glance. So that is the first gaze. The one first long gaze the person gives. So that is inappropriate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to implement this particular injunction. And Allah ta'ala give us the himmat and courage to lower our gazes. One of the reasons is that this particular sin, why it's very difficult to give up, because it is so easy to commit. Whether the person is a qari sahab, whether the person is the imam sahab, whether he's an alim, whether he's a lawyer, whether he's a doctor, whether he's in his workplace, it doesn't require much energy to commit this particular sin. It's just a mere movement of the eyes, moving the eyes here and moving the eyes there. But the harm of this, respected elders and brothers, is that when we're going to cast these lustful glances, then, as the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, it is a poisonous arrow from shaitan. Now, suddenly, the love of that woman can enter our hearts. And unfortunately, sometimes you find that it is husband and wife, they are married, and now suddenly the love in the marriage has disappeared. And what has happened? One of the main things is that lustful glances. That the man is looking at other women, and vice versa, this wife, she is looking at other men. Respected elders and brothers, we have to be so particular today. You know, in those days we would say, just be careful what kind of literature comes within the home. Lower your gaze when you're going outside, the billboards. Try not to have a television within the home. But unfortunately, things have totally changed now. With the advent of social media and WhatsApp and all the various groups that we have, now you find that on all the groups, now a person has got 10 groups. So it's group, this group and that security group and this group and that group and recipe group and mechanical group. And so many groups we've got. This is also an innovation of shaitan, a very wise innovation of shaitan, so that we can squander as much time as possible. Because now the person after Taraweeh, when he goes home, so he opens the first group, so there's 20 messages there. So he reads all 20 messages, and group 2. Opens group 2, there's 14 messages there. Group 3, another 20 messages there. By the time he reaches group 5, group 1 got another 20 messages. And like this, time just goes and goes and goes. And if a person has to take stock of all the time that has been squandered in just reading through all the messages in each group, subhanallah, how much of our lives are being wasted in this manner. And then sometimes pictures are being posted, sometimes videos are being posted, sometimes in the name of some educational video is being posted, or some video related to something else, it is being posted. Now we looking at these pictures, or we seeing these videos, and in the process, sometimes, for the women folk, there's a man that is coming there. Or sometimes for the males, there's a woman that is coming there. So the same masla will apply there. That we have to delete these items. Try not to look at these things at all. The ideal is that we just keep away from these things. But unfortunately, it is an explosion as far as this technology is concerned. There's a lot of benefit in it. However, we have to be very, very cautious, and we have to use it in a very controlled manner. These devices have to be subservient to us. They shouldn't rule us. They shouldn't be dictating how we run our lives. We should have a cut off time from these things. I'm not going to be going on to these things from this time to this time. Whatever important messages need to be read, I'll read it here. The rest of the time, let me rather engage in my personal activities. Let me use the time to engage with my own family, so that we make the home. Today, unfortunately, the youngsters are growing up, they can't even communicate with their elders any longer, because they are living in a cyber world. Their circle of friends are on all the chat groups. So they can speak to a person over a group or over a message, but they cannot interact with the person directly. This is a weakness of our society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to abstain from sins, and may Allah ta'ala protect us from the fitnas that are reigning in our particular time. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.